Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're building a bass line that does three jobs at once. It carries real sub weight, it hits with modern punch, and it still has a vintage soul in the mid-range. That's the sweet spot. Deep enough to hold the room, sharp enough to cut through the drums, and musical enough to feel alive. The key idea here is simple. Don't think of this as one giant bass sound. Think of it as two parts working together. A clean, stable sub layer gives you the foundation. A character layer gives you attitude, movement, and that smoky, worn-in flavor. In drum and bass, that split is huge, because the low end has to stay disciplined while the mids do the talking. Start with the rhythm, not the synth. That's the first real move. Program a simple two-bar MIDI pattern before you get lost in sound design. Keep it tight. One or two notes per bar is enough to begin with. A good roller pattern often lands just after the snare or holds through into the next beat without crowding the drum pocket. Why this works in D&B is because the drums already carry so much motion. If the bass gets too busy too early, the groove starts to blur. A simple rhythm gives the track space to breathe. What to listen for here is whether the phrase leans forward. Does it feel like it's pulling into the next bar? And just as important, does it leave room for the snare to speak clearly? If the answer is no, shorten the notes, move them off the backbeat a little, or remove anything that's fighting the drum hits. Often the groove lives or dies on note length more than on the actual sound. Now split the bass into two layers. On the sublayer, keep it brutally simple. Use something like operator or wave eatable with a sine or very clean triangle style source. Keep it mono. Low pass it hard. Don't give it stereo width. Don't make it dance around. The sub is the engine. It should feel stable, expensive, and almost boring by design. On the mid layer, bring in the personality. Wave eatable, drift, or analog all work well here. Use a saw, square, or a slightly detuned shape so the tone as harmonic density. This layer should not carry the whole low end. Its job is to give the bass definition, movement, and that soulful edge that makes it feel human. A clean Ableton workflow is to put both layers inside an instrument rack and label them clearly. That makes it much easier to print, compare, and version ideas later. And honestly, versioning early saves a lot of time. Once a loop starts working, duplicate it and make one version that's cleaner, one that's rougher, one that's brighter, and one that leaves more space. Compare by function, not just by taste. Let's shape the sub first. Keep the chain simple, utility for mono if needed, EQ8 only to clear obvious mud, and maybe a very light saturator if the sub needs a touch more visibility on smaller systems. Don't overprocess it. If the sub feels muddy, shorten the note length before you start carving with EQ. That's a big one. In D&B, note length is often a better tone control than any plugin. What to listen for is one stable pressure wave. The sub should feel like it stays locked in place as the notes change. If it starts wobbling, smearing, or feeling messy, the note envelope is probably too long or the oscillator isn't clean enough. If it feels thin, don't immediately boost the low end. First check the pitch range and the actual source tone. Now move to the mid layer, because this is where the fun happens. Start with a tone that has some bite. Then shape it with auto filter, saturator, EQ8, and if needed drum bus or overdrive. A practical chain might be wave eatable or drift, then auto filter, then saturator, then EQ8, and finally a little drum bus if you want extra push. Here's the important part. Keep the movement musical. Open the filter quickly at the front of the note, then let it settle. That gives you modern punch without turning the bass into a harsh click. The attack should feel immediate, then controlled. If you want a more vintage soul flavor, keep the filter a little warmer and the saturation softer. If you want a more modern punch, tighten the decay and let the transient speak a little harder. This is a useful decision point. If the track is deep, smoky, and groove-led, lean into the soulful version. If the drums are sparse and you need more impact, lean into the punchier version. Both are valid. The trick is choosing one on purpose. What to listen for now is whether the note speaks right away, then settles into the groove. If it feels harsh, back off the drive before you start cutting highs. If it feels dull, the filter may be closing too much, or the waveform may be too soft. Make one change at a time so you can actually hear what's doing the work. One mistake that comes up a lot is distorting the whole bass instead of only the character layer. That usually wrecks the sub and makes the whole drop muddy. Keep the low end clean or only lightly saturated, and let the mid layer take the grit. That separation is what keeps the bass powerful on a club system. Now let's talk movement. This needs to feel alive, not wobbly. A little goes a long way. You can automate the filter cutoff every two or four bars, add a subtle pitch envelope to the attack, or use a tiny amount of autopan on the mid layer only, but keep anything below around 120 Hz centered. The low end needs to stay mono safe. The stereo interest belongs up top, in harmonics, not in the sub. If you want a more organic feel, resample the mid layer once it's close. That's a huge workflow move indeed, NB. Print the idea, then edit it like a performance. Slice small gaps, reverse tiny bits, trim the tails, and make one or two notes slightly different. Why this works in DNB is because resampling turns a programmed loop into something that feels played. A little imperfection can make the bass feel more predatory, more human, more memorable. At this point, bring in the actual drum loop. Don't wait until the end. The bass only matters if it works against the kick, snare, breaks, and hats. Loop a solid 4-bar section and check the pocket. Does the kick still punch through? Does the snare crack cleanly? Does the top of the break remain readable, or is the mid layer clouding the groove? If the bass is fighting the kick, shorten the bass note or shift it slightly off the kick transient. If it's fighting the snare, reduce the mid-range density where the snare hits, or make the bass answer the snare instead of stepping on it. That's the DNB mindset. The bass is not the solo star, it's the drum partner. It should clarify the groove, not compete with it. What to listen for when the drums are playing is whether the track feels bigger or smaller. A great bass line makes the whole loop feel larger and more urgent. A bad one makes the groove feel boxed in. If it sounds exciting solo but the loop feels smaller, that's a sign the bass is overbuilt. Once the tone and rhythm are working, turn your 2-bar idea into a 4-bar phrase. DNB thrives on call and response. Bars 1 and 2 can state the idea. Bar 3 can repeat it with a small change. Bar 4 can answer or set up the next phrase. You don't need a giant rewrite. One altered note, a tiny octave lift, or a shorter ending can be enough to create momentum. That variation is what keeps the drop moving forward. A loop that never changes can feel flat, even if the sound design is great. A phrase with a little internal arc feels like a performance. And that's what people remember. Keep an eye on the low mid zone too. Around 120 to 300 Hz, things can get murky fast. A little weight there can make the bass feel chesty and powerful, but too much will swallow the snare and make the track feel slower than it is. If the bass gets harsh in the upper mids, a small EQ move around the 1.5 to 4 kHz range can help. But again, reduce drive first if you can. EQ should refine the tone, not rest you a patch that's been overcooked. A good rule for heavier DNB is to let the sub stay boring on purpose. That restraint often makes the whole thing hit harder. Put the emotion and the grime in the harmonics, not in the sub. Shape the front edge of the note. Focus on the first 30 to 80 milliseconds. That attack often decides whether the bass feels punchy or flat. Now here's the practical challenge. Build a 4-bar bass loop against a kick, snare, and break groove using only stock Ableton devices. Keep the sub and mid layers separate. Limit yourself to one main bass sound and one variation. No more than 2 saturation stages total. Then bounce the mid layer to audio and make one alternate ending for the 4th bar. You can finish this in 15 minutes if you stay focused. Start with the rhythm. Then build the sub. Then build the mid. Then check it with drums. Then print it. Don't fall into the trap of endless tweaking. The best bass ideas often appear once you commit to audio and start editing the phrase like a drummer would. If you want to push it further, make an 8-bar arc. Bars 1 and 2 state the idea. Bars 3 and 4 introduce a variation. Bars 5 and 6 lift the energy slightly. Bars 7 and 8 reset or create tension into the next section. That kind of structure keeps the drop feeling alive without relying on a new patch every 8 bars. And if you're working darker, keep the sub even simpler. Add tension with phrase length, not just tone. One extra beat held before the bar line can create more menace than another drive knob turn. Tiny octave lifts can also work beautifully as punctuation. Just one note jumping up an octave for a single hit can make the second half of a phrase feel much bigger. So let's pull it together. Build the bass in 2 layers, a clean, mono sub and an expressive mid layer. Start with the rhythm, because the rhythm tells the story. Use saturation, filtering, and subtle movement to give the mid layer punch and soul, but keep the low end centered and controlled. Check it against the drums early. Shorten note lengths before you reach for heavy EQ. Resample when the idea is working. Then shape the phrase into call and response so it behaves like a real DNB drop element. If the result feels deep, tense, musical, and powerful without smothering the drums, you've nailed it. Now take the exercise or the 6-bar challenge and build it for real. Keep the sub stable. Make one focused automation move, and let the mid layer evolve without losing the core rhythm. That's the lane. That's the sound. And once you get that balance right, your bass will hit with authority and soul at the same time.